Educational Advantages Not Centered in Battle Creek, 1893. There are matters worthy of our careful consideration. Many Christian parents have taken their position conscientiously that they could not send their children away from home influences. They wished their children to be partakers of like precious faith, which they understood was essential for them to cherish, and this matter was considered by them of greater importance than literary attainments, with all the dangers that would be involved. There were not wanting examples where religious faith and principles had been confused through association and companionship with others, and in yielding to objectionable influences, the care and education in the simplicity of faith in the gospel had been swept away, and doubt and skepticism had led them to throw off restraint and become perhaps more learned and far worse in morals and principles. It was because of these evils, these associations which prove injurious to our youth, that the Lord's counsel was heard that a school should be established in Battle Creek and conducted on altogether different principles than any school in our land. That, the greatest of all science, was to become educated as in the school of the prophets, to understand Bible history and obtain a knowledge of the truth. Listen to the prayer of Christ, offered to his Father just before his crucifixion. These words spake Jesus, and lifted up his eyes to heaven, and said, Father, the hour is come. Glorify thy Son, that thy Son also may glorify thee, as thou hast given him power over all flesh, that he should give eternal life to as many as thou hast given him. And this is life eternal, that they might know thee the only true God, and Jesus Christ whom thou hast sent. John 17, verse 1-3. Yet it pleased the Lord to bruise him. He hath put him to grief. When thou shalt make his soul an offering for sin, he shall see his seed, he shall prolong his days, and the pleasure of the Lord shall prosper in his hand. He shall see of the travail of his soul, and shall be satisfied. By his knowledge shall my righteous servant justify many, for he shall bear their iniquities. Therefore will I divide him a portion with the great, and he shall divide the spoil with the strong, because he hath poured out his soul unto death, and he was numbered with the transgressors, and he bore the sin of many, and made intercession for the transgressors. Isaiah 53, verse 10-12. Thus saith the Lord, Let not the wise man glory in his wisdom, neither let the mighty man glory in his might. Let not the rich man glory in his riches, but let him that glorieth glory in this, that he understandeth and knoweth me, that I am the Lord which exerciseth loving kindness, judgment, and righteousness in the earth. For in these things I delight, saith the Lord. Jeremiah 9, verse 23-24. The Lord has made known his will that, as a people, we are not to neglect to provide for the nurture, education, and training of our sons and daughters. With this main and high purpose before the church and parents and children, that our children, who are the heritage of the Lord, may be placed under the most direct and favorable influences to become standard bearers in the army of the Lord, and educated to become missionaries for the Master. And connected with these schools should be choice talent, of such only as give evidence that they have been learning in the school of Christ his lessons of meekness and lowliness of heart, who can study from cause to effect, who will not move rashly in anything. Teachers who will be patient, kind, and sympathetic, and will do toward the students, in every line, exactly as they would have done toward them under like circumstances, acting at all times, looking unto Jesus, just as he would act. There must be no harshness, no partiality to persons which will prove a curse in any school. These were the principles given me, which I have repeatedly presented to others. I have been shown that it is a mistake to crowd so many interests in Battle Creek. In the place of swelling the school to such large proportions, take the money that you would invest in adding building to building and locate schools in other states and divide up. Battle Creek has advantages which are very great in some respects, but there are alike disadvantages which our brethren are not discerning. I have had presented to me again and again that the money invested in piling up so many buildings in Battle Creek is not wisdom. Let the strength of some of these interests be for the establishment of schools in other locations. The school in Battle Creek has overgrown the qualifications of its educators. Professor Prescott is absent much of the time. If he were present, his experience would help the underteachers. But even if he were there all the time, there is gathering in all the time more responsibility than can be successfully carried. When there is deeper consecration with the instructors of youth, God will work with their efforts. But after the outpouring of the Spirit of God in Battle Creek, it was proved in the college that a time of great spiritual light is also a time of corresponding spiritual darkness. Satan and his legions of satanic agencies are on the ground, pressing their powers upon every soul to make of none effect the showers of grace that have come from heaven to revive and quicken the dormant energies into decided action to impart that which God has imparted. Had all the many souls, then enlightened, gone to work at once to impart to others that which God had given to them for that very purpose, more light would have been given, more power bestowed. God does not give light merely for one person, but that they may diffuse light, and God be glorified. Its influence is felt. In every age, seasons of spiritual revival and the outpouring of the Holy Spirit have been followed by spiritual darkness and prevailing corruptions. Taking into account that which God has done in opportunities and privileges and blessings in Battle Creek, the Church has not made honorable progress in doing her work, and God's blessing will not rest upon the Church in advancing still more light until they use the light as God has directed in His Word. The light that would shine in clear and distinct rays will grow dim amid the moral darkness. The aggressive power of the truth of God is dependent upon the cooperation of the human agent with God in piety, in zeal, in unselfish efforts to get the light of truth before others. God expects practical work in getting out of Battle Creek. Too many are there, and too many interests are piling up in Battle Creek. Were these interests divided and located in other cities, that light and knowledge might bless other localities, it would be in God's order. The Lord does not want a second Jerusalem in Battle Creek. There will have to be strong reformations and transformations, and transferring of faculties and interests if the will of God is done. Short-sighted mortals cannot discern that crowding so much in Battle Creek is taking away from other localities opportunities and privileges which they much need, and God designates they should have. The truth is light and power. Believers are exercised by it to make impressions upon the masses, which should be true of the schools as well as the churches. There must be in every institution the working on Christian principles if they would triumph over opposing obstacles. Worked on worldly policy plans, depending on human calculations, there will be a want of solidity in the work. There will be a want of far spiritual eyesight. This is no discredit to the truth, though it may hinder its reception by some, but there is a failure in the infirmities of human calculations, because they do not cooperate with the divine. There has been the past few years human calculations in some lines, when, if the advantage of working upon Christian principles had been more apparent and self had been hid in Christ, very much greater progress would have been made. Each worker would have felt his own human weakness, and would have supplicated for the grace of God and wisdom which He alone can give for all emergencies. God expects of every institution that its standards shall excel all others as His representatives. And when the abundant facilities and resources are worked by men wholly consecrated to God, divine help is pledged in every emergency. The world is not pleased to acknowledge the work and the prosperity of the cause of God in its various branches, but the men truly connected with God makes the impression that a more than human agency is standing at the helm. Satan has been trying to use his most ingenious methods to weave himself in, to make of none affect the divine agencies. I tell you, in the fear of God, the standard must be lifted higher and still higher. The presence of men in every position of trust in our institutions should have a purifying, ennobling odor of his unselfish life, his generous, self-sacrificing spirit. His sympathy and love after Christ's likeness should purify the atmosphere. When he presides, his practical example is eloquent for good. His words in council comes not from exalted human passions, come not from a forward, self-sufficient, self-exalted spirit, but his unobtrusive virtues are of more value than weight in gold. He is more precious than mountains of gold and silver. The man in the midst of things, of time and sense, walks with God by faith. He keeps eternity in view, and self is hid with Christ in God. Indwelling godliness appears. It pervades his conversation, imparts to his character a steadfastness of purpose, sanctifies his intercourse with saints and sinners. He carries with him a moral efficiency. He feels that he has no right to be sharp or dictatorial or arbitrary in any of his decisions. For God is his master, not the human agent. Men of this mold are the only true representatives of Jesus Christ.